What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio. Now, I took the note. I'm not going to be taking swigs on the mic no more. I hit the mute already. I'm not going to be taking swigs on the mic no more, but y'all going to get the initial swig. Because water drinking is very important to this podcast. I'm a proponent, a strong advocate for drinking water. I want the majority of y'all drinking more water in your lives. I want you to up it. Because I guarantee most of us don't drink enough water on a daily basis. So I want y'all to crank it up. Water is vital. I want everybody drinking it, man. It's for your organs. It's for your internals. It's for your skin. It's for all of that. Your eyeballs, your complexion. Water is beneficial to all of that. So I want us to be just taking that water down. And I want more room temp water being drunk. It don't just have to be all room temp, but getting in on that room temp. Everything ain't got to be ice cold all the goddamn time. All right? I want y'all in on that water. Please. And I don't want y'all whining and crying about, why you always trying to make people do this? Shut up. Get in on that water, man. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. That's all I want for y'all, man. More water in your life. Thoughts and prayers to the people of Jamaica. They got a hurricane coming in right now. That's looking very scary, very violent, and very powerful. So, you know, my heart goes out to the people of Jamaica, in Jamaica. If you got family, loved ones in Jamaica, I'm praying for them. And shout out to Jamaica, man. Nature is just going to be like, look, I'm doing this. And then we got to take it. And so my heart is definitely with the people of Jamaica, for sure, 1,000%. Jamaica, I feel like y'all accents are fire. The culture is fire. The flag is fire. The dancing is fire. The music is fire. The food is fire. Shout out to Jamaica and everything you bring to the globe. For such a small island, the impact is incredible and massive. And dope. So shout out to Jamaica overall. Absolutely. 1,000%. I want to go to Jamaica proper and really take in Jamaica for real. I went to Jamaica one time when I was working a cruise ship. I got off the boat and kind of roamed around the area by the cruise ship. That area don't count. I was annoyed. They was hustling too hard. I was just annoyed. I was like, I need to be in Jamaica proper. For me to really just take in the vibe. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. To anybody that's getting government assistance and, you know, this SNAP thing that's going on, my heart is with you as well. My heart's in prayers. And, you know, they always want to highlight the people that are mooching off the government and just, you know, taking advantage of the system. Yeah, there are people that do that. There are people that take advantage of everything and every walk of life. But I feel like that's the only small demo that we focus on when it comes to government assistance, when there's a lot of people out here that have jobs, that bust their ass, that work hard, and could just use a little bit of assistance. So I know the majority are on that side of it. And you got people that are disabled. You got disabled veterans, all kind of people that need assistance. So, you know, it's not just people out here just taking advantage of the government or just being lazy. You got the elderly in there that worked hard their whole lives. And, you know, all of that matters. All of that counts. And so my thoughts and prayers are with you as well. You know, we took advantage of government assistance growing up. We used to get commodities from the government. They used to give us cheese, powdered milk, honey, rice. And I feel like it was one more thing. Probably like some type of hot cereal or whatever. It was dreadful. That cereal that came with the commodities was dreadful. It tasted like government. The government cheese was thick. Government cheese was so thick and hard to cut. Like, once you put that big, long-ass block of government cheese in that refrigerator and you tried to cut it for a little family feeding, boy, when that shit was cold, you needed a hot axe to get through that cheese. You needed to be Thor with an axe. Remember when he modified his hammer to make it into an axe hammer combo? You needed that axe half to cut that cheese thick. And yes, the peanut butter. So mainly we was really just focused on like the cheese, I think the rice and the honey and stuff like that. So we used to get commodities. We had like, you know, food stamps for a little bit. Back when the food stamps was the coupons, you know, and we was embarrassed to pull the food stamps out, you know what I'm saying? Because you got roasted if you was on food stamps. It's just disgusting how we used to judge people for a financial struggle growing up. Like if you didn't have the freshest kicks or, you know, an assortment of wardrobe options, you got shredded for it. You got roasted for it. You got thrown on the grill just because your money wasn't right. And there are people still like that to this day. Like I've never been a fan of like calling somebody broke. Like you broke, because I've been broke for a long time. For a long ass time. Broke McGee. Broke Back Mountain without the sex. Big broke. But that never reflected who I was as a person. You know what I'm saying? I still have value as a human being. So when people just diminish people or just try to dismiss, just you broke, and they try to just relegate you to that, I don't think it's fair, because it doesn't speak to who you are as a person, man. It's just the finances. We all go up and down around here, man. Your money might be good one day, you might be in the toilet the next, but you still that person. So this whole mindset, and you know, we live in America, you know, you're getting judged by your money. And that whole mindset of just like, man, you broke, man. You don't know what you're talking about. You broke. Like, hey, man, my money ain't right, but I'm still dope. So let's get off of that, man. Grow up. I remember Teddy Riley called me broke when he was mad at me because I was talking about the Wi-Fi connection. I don't hold it against him, but he went to that first. That's like a knee-jerk reaction for people to go to when they feel attacked or they feel disrespected. But like, man, you broke. You know what I'm saying? There's more to life than your financial situation. You're more than that. I just want to put that out there. So whatever financial situation you in right now, and if you in the struggle, man, you still dope as a human being. I just want to throw that out there, put that on your windowsill, lay that on the ledge. You still dope as an individual. Just your money's funny. And the money gonna be funny, man. Money be funny sometimes, man. Money is mood swingy. Sometimes money be with you, and sometimes money be like, nah, I'm going to turn my back on you. But you still dope regardless, all right? Just want to throw that out there, man. Shout out to my patron saints in the building. You know, Gabby Barnett, Joy, Crunchy Apple, Valerie T, Twa, Shiv Gibbs, Aomi, Miranda, Candy Cammy, Simone L, Analog, Zane, Tanya R, Savants, Trey, Keish, Jamal B, Aries, Miss Ma'am, Two Jesse, Sherry Tucker, Duchess, Gabby, Ali, Alice, AJ, Seanville, Art Diva, man. I want to shout out to my patron saints, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all show up for me every month. Y'all the real bakery. And when the movie nights come back, we're going to have a good ass time, man. Everybody in the IG live, man, you're cheap. Y'all don't want to make the commitment to the extras. Y'all don't want to make the commitment to the extras. And that's fine. You can do what you want to do with your money. But over here, they the real ones. Tori T, C. Anderson. You know what I'm saying? But y'all can do it too. Y'all can join too anytime you want. What's up, Jada? You can join anytime you want. So if not, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to. Just click the link in my bio. Go to the Patreon tab. click the paid membership joint, and you can hang out for as little as $5 a month. What do you get with that? You get live podcast links to Verbal Cardio, Daddy Issues, The Ball Brothers, anything we shoot. You can get live access to that as we shoot it behind the scenes. You get early access to tickets, discount links, merch, movie nights when I have those back and running, movie nights, music nights. We did a game night before, so it's a good time. It's a good time. So join up, click the link in my bio. Oh, come to see me live. That's the ultimate right there. Come to see me live. So click the link in my bio, join the Patreon. Don't join the free Patreon. If you join the free Patreon, you will get none of that. You won't get everything that I just listed. You won't get none of that. You got to be in the paid tier. So, you know what I'm saying? But that's neither here nor there. But this is real love right here. This is real love, man. Some of y'all be on the fence. Some of y'all be rude. Some of y'all just be disrespectful because y'all not really fully, y'all don't really fuck with me for real like that. You know what I'm saying? So y'all be saying rude shit. What's up, Jarrell? But I want to give a shout out. What's up, Alanette? How you doing? Oh, that's not Alanette. I'm sorry. I thought that was Alanette. That's Yvette. My bad. Shout out to everybody that came to see us this weekend. Boston, Philly, New York. Incredible, man. Thank y'all, man. The shows, I want to highlight Philadelphia and New York in particular. The shows there were incredible. Philly just turned up, turned it out. And I was like, man, it ain't going to get no better than this. And then New York raised the stakes. New York was even better. So shout out to Philly and New York, man. Fantastic. Boston was cool, but Philly and New York was just amazing, man. Next weekend, we're in Richmond, Virginia and Orlando, Florida. I want y'all to get your tickets, man. Get in on it. It's going to be a good time. Get your tickets early. Spread the word. Assemble your crew. We got six shows left. We only got six shows left on this tour. We got Richmond, Orlando, Washington, D.C., and that's sold out. Charlotte, Oakland, Los Angeles. Also, if you're in the L.A. area, Tony Bacon Friends will return New Year's Eve. Two shows on New Year's Eve. Tony Bacon Friends will be back if you're in the L.A. area. So if you want to spend New Year's Eve being silly with me, I'll be at Flappers Comedy Club New Year's Eve. Man, we can ring it in real special. Real special. That's what we got going. But let me pay some bills real quick. Let me pay these bills real quick. Let me tell y'all something right here, right now. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly. So watch your payday. The money you've earned should be in your hands today. And with earn in, it can be, you know. In those moments when money isn't moving as fast as your life, earn in helps give you the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward, man. Earn in is an app that lets you access your pay as you earn it up to $150 a day with a max of $750 between paydays. Just download the Earn In app and add your info, then start accessing your pay as you work and leave an optional tip to keep the app running for everyone. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, man, stuff be coming up. Life doesn't wait for your little every 2 week paycheck to cut up. Car troubles, gas bills, groceries, a special night out, taking family to dinner or an event, a last minute gift for a loved one, an unexpected trip to the vet, rent, tickets that might sell out before payday, a new dress, school clothes, or shoes that are on sale. All of this, man. Anything can happen, man. Your car gonna be like, hey, man, I ain't gonna make it. That car don't care nothing about your pay period. So Earn In comes through in the clutch for that. I wish Earn In was around when I was at Dairy Queen and when I was working at InMerch or Best Buy. You know what I'm saying? It'd been clutch there. So download Earn In today, spell E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earn In app, type in Verbal Cardio under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Verbal Cardio under podcast. Earn In's EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit EarnIn.com for full details. Download EarnIn now and take control of your pay. Where was this at in the late 90s for you, boy? Where was it at? I want to know where it was at. I'm running my mouth, man. Listen, I want to talk about what I've been watching lately. I watched every episode of The Devil in Disguise on Peacock, right? The Devil in Disguise is about John Wayne Gacy. If you're not familiar with him, he was a serial killer. He started his murderous spree in the 70s. And they caught him like in 1980. And he had, that we know of, over 30 murders of young men under his reign of terror. And yeah, he used to be a clown. He was a man about the community. He was involved in community stuff. And, you know, he was in Illinois, right outside of Chicago in an area called Des Plaines. I pulled up on the house when I was out in Chicago one time. I pulled up to see, you know, what that block looked like. The original house was torn down, and so they rebuilt another house on top of that. And so, like, when I first pulled up on it, it was for sale. The house was for sale. It's an attractive house that they have there now, but I couldn't imagine, knowing the history and that it was 30 something bodies in the crawl space underneath the house, there's no way. There's no way I could live in that house. I don't care how you revamp it. I don't care how you refurbish it. I don't care what type of flooring you put in there. I can't do it. Knowing that. And I feel like if you're a realtor, you got to be transparent on that. I would feel like a total sham, charlatan, creep if I was selling you a house and I didn't mention, by the way, John Wayne Gacy used to live here and he had bodies up underneath the. All right, y'all leaving? All right, thank you for your time. Thank you for your time. I get it. But I would feel vile if I didn't disclose that information to potential buyers. Some people don't care about that stuff. You feel like the dead is the dead and there's no energy, there's no ghost, there's no nothing. You know what I'm saying? Their shells were underneath the house, but that don't mean nothing. But for me, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm like, bruh, I would never be able to relax in that house. Every time I'm going for a little late night snack in the kitchen, even though I'll be intermittent fasting, so I probably wouldn't even go for a late night snack, but I'm going to be roaming around the house late at night. I'm going to be thinking about the victims, all those young men. But that series really pissed me off. There's a few things here. The white privilege in the serial killer community is absolutely disgusting. The white privilege is crazy. They be having these serial killers dead to rights. They got them by the balls and they be letting them slip through the cracks, which leads to more lives lost because you let this white man go. It's absolutely disgusting. They had John Wayne Gacy dead to rights. First of all, he had already served some time in Iowa because he sexually assaulted a young man. He served time for this in jail in Iowa. He was in big jail. And they still letting him be a pillar of the community? He taking pictures with the first lady at the time. Full record. He went to jail for this. He had a wife. He had a kids. He had a family. He sexually assaulted this one man, drugged him out, sexually assaulted him, and threw him back out onto the streets. This dude reports what happened to him. They chalk it up as a lover's quarrel, and they don't look into it. Chicago just brushes it off. We don't want to get involved in any type of gay shenanigans, so we just going to brush this off. He could have served more jail time, which would have saved lives down the road. So now, because it's a gay thing, we don't want to touch it. We just gonna let it be what it is. And you letting them flourish again. So now he's out here picking up young men, cruising the streets, picking up young men at Greyhound stations, men that are like, you know, sex workers, picking these young men up, taking their lives. Nobody's really checking for them. Nobody's looking for them because they left their homes, their runaways, their, you know what I'm saying? And so nobody's checking in. Nobody knows what's going on. It's the forgotten kids. The only reason the cops started really looking into John Wayne Gacy is because there was this one kid named Robert Peast. Robert Peast was working in a pharmacy. John was in there. And he was like, yeah, I can give you a job, you know, because he had a little contracting business. So he had all these young men working for him, and then he's just picking the young men off. But this kid was different. Robbie came from a loving, active family. So there was no runaway situation. He was living with his parents. He was young. He was, you know what I'm saying, just a kid. So John Wayne Gacy offers him a job. His mom is there to pick him up from work. And he comes to his mom. He's like, hey, mom, this guy is offering me a job, like contracting work. He can double what I make here. I just want to talk to him about a job real quick. So his mom is literally there waiting for him to talk to this man and then come back out. But he never comes back out. So John was able to lure him back to his crib. And then, So once that young man was missing, the mom was like, yo, my son ain't going to run away, man. That's not his flavor. No, that's not him at all. There's no way he ran away. On my birthday, it was his mom's birthday too. There's no way he ran away. That's not the type of family we are. He said he was going to talk to a man about a job. So they stayed on, they foot the neck. Like, yo, our son would not do this. Hell no. Something ain't right. Find this man that he talked to about a job. And so they find him. They was like, all right, the police go see him. They didn't have a warrant to go in his crib right away, but they got a warrant eventually. They go in there, they check it out. They didn't find any. They found some weird shit in there. Clown paintings, you know, a dildo, handcuffs, a class ring, a random class ring that didn't belong to him. So they're just finding these little things like, all right, man, what the hell is this? But they still don't have enough probable cause to really just accuse him of anything. So they were still just like, but again, the parents, the family of Robert Peast was like, yo, foot to neck. Something ain't right. Our boy didn't run away. And so, but they didn't have enough evidence to really charge him for anything. So they had two cops tailing him, just following him around. And he's trying to charm up the cops. You know, he hated the pressure because he likes to be liked in the community. So the cops are following him. And then he's trying to charm them up. And then one day he invites them into his crib to just kind of hang out, trying to charm them up, man. That little serial killer bullshit that they be trying to be all charming and likable and whatnot. And even though in the series, he wasn't that likable to me. He was kind of an asshole. He was kind of rude to women, but nice to young boys. His jokes were stale. Like, his jokes was corny, man. You could tell he had like a short temper. I'm like, man, this ain't charming enough to get me. I'd be like, man, this dude weird, man. You know what I'm saying? One minute he nice, then next thing he getting the attitude. He kind of aggressive. Like, when you aggressive with me, Oh, hell no. Hell no. And I don't like being pressured. Like, if I'm be like, yo, come to my house and I'll give you the paperwork. I'm like, why are you being so aggressive with this? Just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I want the job, but I don't want to go to your house. My mom is in the car waiting. Watch out, man. Even as a kid, I'd have been on that type of time. Plus, my mom would have went with me. She'd been like, who? When? Where? Let me holler at him. Anyway, so the cops go over there, hang out with him. He being corny and charming. So the cops are there. One of the cops goes into the bathroom. In the bathroom. And mind you, they already checked the place out. They didn't find anything. Like bodies, no sign of Robbie, no sign of nothing. And mind you, they got no clue that they about to find like a cave of victims. They just looking for this one kid. So in the bathroom, the vent, it was a smell coming out of the vent to where the crawl space is. And that cop was like, God damn, man, what the hell? And he kind of just recognized that smell. Apparently, you know, the dead body smell is very distinctive. So he was like, oh, hell no, man. We got to go back up in there, man. It's something in the crawl space. That smell I smelled. Watch out. And they left right away. And then, sure enough, they pulled up in that house. They started looking in that. They started looking in the crawl space. And it was just body after body after body after body. Still never found Robbie right away. And then John Wayne Gacy was like, yeah, I got rid of some of the kids in the Des Plaines River. So they couldn't really search the river because it was wintertime. So they couldn't really search it like they wanted to. So they had to let the weather thaw out a little bit before they could search. And Robbie, the main kid that kicked off this whole search, he was found later on at the river. And so he claimed like 40-something victims. I think they found like 30-something. And it's just sad because, you know, he's just overlooking the victim pool. You know what I'm saying? They're not gonna put foot to ass for these young men. They're not going to care about the gay sex workers or nothing like that. And so Chicago dropped the ball on that victim that tried to tell him, like, yo, man, he sexually assaulted me all night. He was damn near drowning me all night. He was shocking me. He had me cuffed up. I've been trying to tell y'all, man. They're like, nah, man, watch out. And cut to all these victims later, man. And so the movie follows, and it focuses on like some of the victims. Like they would show, it wasn't like how the Dahmer series was. It was kind of like that, I guess, but I never finished the Dahmer series, but it was kind of like that. So they would focus on like, you know, some of the victims and like how they were living their lives outside of John Wayne Gacy. So they didn't always show them interact with one another, but they would show you the victims of John. And so, you know, that always hits hard, man, because then you really, it's one thing to see a picture of a victim. It's another thing to be like, damn, you know what I'm saying? This was a kid. This was, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, he was found guilty of all of this. They tried to go the insanity route. That was the defense. But John Wayne Gacy was against going the insanity route. He was like, nah, man, I'm not insane. You know, he was at odds with his own defense. Like, look, man, if we don't go the insanity route, they're gonna kill you, man. They're gonna give you the death sentence. He's like, man, nah, man, I ain't crazy. Like, all right, man. So they were always butting heads about that. And so he ended up getting the death penalty. But it took them several years before he actually got lethal injection. He got lethal injection in I believe, 94. And they did the family dirty, too. They didn't let the families of these victims view the execution. For whatever reason, I don't know why they did that. They had them there, but they didn't let them view the execution. And so he got executed, finally, you know, but I was just like, man, again, this was an example of letting these white men off the hook, man. And then leading to more victims. Just like, bruh, man, it pisses you off. But also, stuff like that is very intriguing to me. So it was just like, and then I started kind of watching the documentary after that. But I had already seen the documentary before, but it was just like, this guy, man, just out here, man. And it's killers out here right now. They out here as we talk, as we live and breathe right now. That's the scary part. They out here as we live and breathe. So it's so many missing people out here worldwide. We don't know what happened to them, where they are, where their bodies are. It's just disgusting. Anyway, let me cut the IG live off. If y'all want to continue this, join my Patreon. Click the link in my bio. Join the paid Patreon. You ain't got to miss a beat. Other than that, I got to cut this off. What's the name of the documentary? I forget what the name of the documentary is. Hold on. Before I get off, let me tell you. So the name of the series is Devil in Disguise. That's not a documentary. That's actually scripted. It's acted, you know. But there's also a documentary that you can watch, too, along with that. And I forget the name of it. Let me see. It might be called Devil in Disguise, the documentary as well. So you got the episodic. Yeah, so the name of the documentary is John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise. And the name of the series is Devil in Disguise, John Wayne Gacy. And it's all on Peacock. It's all on Peacock. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm cutting the feed. I'm cutting the feed. And that right there. Okay, now, what I also want to talk to y'all about is my top 10 movies of the year that I saw in theaters so far. Okay, so I know the year is not over. I know we got a few big time releases coming out. And I haven't seen everything in theaters. So there were some movies that I saw like on video or streaming. You know, I'm aging myself when I say home video. You know, God forbid you age. You don't wanna be considered old. What do we have against aging, man? Like, what's our beef with aging? We clown it. We ridicule you for being your age. You get roasted. Don't age yourself. Why not? That means I'm alive still. That's all it is. I'm still alive. That's it. We should be showing our age all the time. I've been around since 77. So I got memories and stuff. I remember things. I got experiences that you haven't experienced because you're younger than me. That's the only difference. You missed it. You missed it when Family Ties was on TV. You missed Cheers when it first debuted. You missed the Golden Girls when it was fresh, when they was all alive. You missed that. I shouldn't be ashamed of my age. Oh, watch out. The way you talk, you talking old and you talking young. The young talk ain't no better than the old talk. It's just different. I'm done with the age shaming. Now, some names sound old, like if you got an old-ass name, that's funny. If you got an old-ass name. But other than that, man. Anyway, so the movies I saw this year in theaters, I saw Superman, Jurassic World, Sinners, Fantastic Four, Captain America, Brave New World, Mission Impossible, Thunderbolts, F1, The Conjuring, Weapons, Final Destination, 28 Years Later, One Battle After Another, The Accountant 2, Trine Ares, Ballerina, One of Them Days, Black Phone 2, The Monkey, A Working Man, Dinner. No, I didn't see Den of Thieves in theaters. The Long Walk, Warfare, Woman in the Yard, Wolfman, Novocaine, Roofman, Caught Stealing. And I think that might be, oh wait, hold on, I might not be done, hold on. Smashing Machine. All right, that might be it right there. I think that's it right there. I think that's everything that I saw in theaters this year so far. And there are some movies that I saw later on outside of the theater on streaming platforms, and that would include like Den of Thieves, The Naked Gun, The Amateur, I said Den of Thieves already. Black Bag. I didn't really watch a ton of stuff that I missed in theaters though. But anyway, let me give you my top 10 of what I seen in the movie theater. Y'all want me to go 1 to 10, or y'all want me to go 10 to 1? Y'all let me know. I'm gonna do 10 to 1. Now, what I was gonna do, I was gonna put One of Them Days in the top 10, but I ain't wanna be all biased because I'm in it. But I thought about, yeah, One of Them Days, it was a good time. But I didn't want to be like, man, you just put that in there because you win it. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't make the top 10. It was a good time, but it didn't make the top 10. So number 10, all right? I got Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. That was entertaining. The money was on the screen. Tom Hanks. I feel like the Mission Impossible franchise doesn't have a bad movie. Even though Mission Impossible 2 was super over the top, just mad dramatic with the slow motion and the ridiculousness and the way they shifted the whole style of it was crazy. But I feel like Mission Impossible is an undefeated film franchise. And this last one, it was solid. It was good. It was legit. I was entertained. It's not the best one, but it was solid for this year. Because this year has been pretty light on the movies. I ain't even going to hold you. Anyway, I got Mission Impossible is number 10. All right? Number nine, man. Superman. I got Superman at number 9. Superman was a good time. I didn't have beef with the lighter approach to Superman. Like, if you compare this Superman and Man of Steel, very different in tone and energy and vibe and visual. You know, it's way lighter than Man of Steel was. Man of Steel was dark visually. It got dark theme-wise. Superman killed somebody. You know what I mean? But this one was a different approach. It was James Gunn. You know, and the guy playing Superman, he was likable. I was like, all right, this is cool. I like the energy on Superman, because Superman could be a little boring. I can't say he's better than Henry Cavill as Superman. I can't say that he is, but it is different. And it felt fresh. It felt like something new. And I was entertained. It was a good time. Number 8. Roofman with Channing Tatum. I like little movies like this, man. You know, something based on a true story. It goes for your little heartstrings. It's very, like, character-driven. I didn't know how it was going to end. I went in there blind, fresh, no expectations. And I was drawn in. I was just like, all right, man, I'm having a good time. I thought it was well-acted. Channing Tatum did a good job, and it just made me, you know, dig into the real life of what happened for real, and it was a nice little surprise this year. I'm like, all right, Roof Man, it's a good time. So I got Roof Man at number 8. Number 7, Number seven, I got to go with Thunderbolts. I know Thunderbolts didn't make the money back financially, but I enjoyed Thunderbolts. I thought it was a nice ensemble cast. The action was solid. I enjoyed myself. I know Marvel has been getting a lot of hate lately, but I feel like Thunderbolts delivered. I would say it was better than Fantastic Four, and I enjoyed it a little bit more than Superman. But I do got my little gripes about it. Like how they did Taskmaster was just ridiculous. The way they did Taskmaster was a complete waste. I was like, what? I was pissed. But other than that, the movie was solid. It was good. I feel like it gets a bad rap because it tanked financially, but I enjoyed it. Number six, The Long Walk. This was something different. Stephen King in his bag again. The premise was mad interesting, especially since I'm a walker myself. I felt like, yo, could I do that? Could I make it in The Long Walk? I wanted to know myself. I was like, how many miles could I get in before I get shot in the head? How far could I go? Very character driven. I like how it's just them walking on the road. So you got to really just tap into the characters and the dialogue and stuff like that. So I thought that was very refreshing. And it kept me intrigued to the very end. Like I didn't know how it was going to end. And so that's always a good time when you watch a movie. And I felt like, yo, this is something different. This is something fresh, even though it's from a book. But I enjoyed it, man. The Long Walk. Number five, Warfare. Warfare was a nice look into a minor skirmish with hellified stakes. And when you think of war movies, you think about this grand, even if it's one particular battle, it's grand. It feels grand. Like Black Hawk Down, for example, and stuff like that. It feels kind of grand. But this one is just like, just a little moment right here. And it wasn't like crazy, you know, action on. And it was just like, yo, what really happens in warfare? And how they really let you know about the pain side of warfare. Like when you get your legs blown loose, how you gonna take that? The pain involved. How do soldiers navigate that? Like we've seen war movies and we've seen like soldiers like wild out, you know, when they missing an arm or, you know, their legs are blown off. We've seen them like, oh, you know what I'm saying? But this one, I feel like we really honed in on what really happens to soldiers when they get injured like this. The pain, I'm just like, yo. The pain really, really sat with me on this one. I was just like, man, to the point where it was this one soldier. He was out cold from the blast. He was knocked out, but his legs was tore up. And given the way the other soldier was reacting to his legs, I was praying that the other soldier didn't wake up until they can get him to like adequate, you know, medical care. I was like, please don't wake up. Please stay knocked out. Please stay knocked out. Because I knew once he woke up, oh, my God, man. And they were screaming bloody murder, and rightfully so. And I was just like, man. And it was just like you see these soldiers folding under pressure and fumbling. And that one soldier that injected himself with the morphine on accident because he was nervous. I was just like, we really get to see, like, what really goes through the minds of these soldiers in these moments like this is crazy. So Warfare was great. It sat with me. Number four, One Battle After Another. Leonardo DiCaprio, Benicio Del Toro, Sean Penn, Regina Hall, Tiana Taylor. What's her name? Chase Infinity. Directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. One of the most critically acclaimed films of the year. This was a good one. I enjoyed it. I didn't know what the hell was going on or how it was going to end. Well acted. Sean Penn did his goddamn thing. He was disgusting in this movie. Great ensemble. It was a good time. It might be my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie overall. It was good though. It's probably like a one and done for me. I might slide up on it again, but some of the themes and some of the messages in it, you know, the community that hates wokeness, oh, they and their little feelings about this movie. But for me, being black in this country and knowing that it's a white supremacy element high up in this country, I was like, yep. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are pissed. I was just like, yeah, man, piss them off. But I enjoyed this movie. Definitely one of the best of the year. It was a good watch. It was crazy. And I got to put it up in this top five. Some people have it as the best film of the year. I don't agree. As you can see, it's number four on my list. But it's damn good, though. It's damn good. It didn't have the legs and the longevity of another film that's on my list. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that in a minute. So that was number four, One Battle After Another. My number three film, and this is one of the true popcorn pleasers of the year. Summer movie that just felt good. Now you had stakes in there, but it wasn't like super heavy. You don't have to get in your head about it. It didn't have a deeper meaning. It's just an enjoyable sports film, and that's F1 with Brad Pitt, Damson Idris. F1 was a good time in theaters, man. It let you into a world that you had no knowledge of, which is Formula One racing. And, you know, it's cliched, as sports films often are. But it was good, though. It was just nice to get a view into another world that I wasn't familiar with. Brad Pitt was charming. Damson Idris, the whole dynamic between him and Damson was just dope. There was a moment or two where I felt like they could have did another take. Like when Brad Pitt was supposed to be pissed off at Damson, I feel like Brad Pitt didn't really deliver the gravitas in that moment. Like I feel like if I was a director, I'm like, yo, we're going to have to redo that. Brad Pitt didn't convince me in that moment. I was just like, hey, man, they could have reshot that one. We could have had another take on that. But overall, the movie was good. It was light. It was fun. And I enjoyed it. Like, that was the most summerish movie of the year, of the summer. That movie felt like a summer blockbuster. And so it was good to have that feeling again. So F1 is my number three pick. Number two, a surprise on the horror tip, Weapons. Weapons was a good ass time. It felt original. It felt fresh. I was just like, yo, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going to happen? This is funny. This is scary. This is creepy. It was so many different vibes within this one movie. I was just like, yo, this is crazy. The time sequencing, the performances. This was a movie that I was just like, I had minimal expectations, but I went in there and I was just like, yo, this movie was a good time. And you had a creepy villain, a mystery to solve, quirky characters. It was just a nice, refreshing blast of just like genre bending stuff. Why is this funny? Oh, that's creepy. And it wasn't over the top with the creep fest. But it was just like, yo, where is this going? It kept us guessing. And I feel like Weapons was like a true surprise and a true treat this year. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, yo, Weapons is dope as hell. And definitely a movie I'm going to watch again so I can pick up on things I may have missed. But yeah, Weapons got to be up there. That's my number two for the year so far. And my number one, y'all probably already know what it is. You already know what it is because I said it in the last podcast. But Sinners is it. Sinners is it, man. I don't see another film slated to come out this year that's going to top this. And a lot of people be in the comment section be like, "Well, no, man, it's just a vampire movie." If you see it as just a vampire movie and nothing else, then you miss everything else that's on the underneath. And maybe it's not for you. Maybe this movie's not for you. Maybe it wasn't written with you in mind. But it's definitely deeper than just a vampire flick, if you choose to see the deeper meanings. And I feel like people refuse to see that, the people that complain. But this was the movie that I was like, yo, I have to see this again. I had to go watch it again. It made me excited about cinema. It made me excited about performances and character and the rich layers. The character development before the shit hits the fan was fantastic. And then the ending was just beautiful. It was beautiful. And if you can't connect with a black dude shooting up the Klansman, oh, but then you just, it pissed you off low key. How can you not get a full big booty enjoyment of seeing Klansmen getting Tommy gunned down at the end? People that get pissed on that, you revealing yourself. Because somebody said the last half of the movie, it was just whack. Did you not see that scene? It started out good, and then it just turned into a run-of-the-mill vampire movie. How many vampire movies have you seen where the Klan gets gunned down in the daytime when the vampires are no longer around? Name another vampire movie where that happened. I will wait. Since it was run-of-the-mill, I will wait for the Klansmen to get gunned down in broad day. Now, mind you, none of those people gunned down in that moment were vampires. We off the vampires. We dealing with real people now. This is the next morning. The vampires done left the scene. And we still got movie left. And then a little extra part showing you the vampires at the end, years into the future. Man, come on, man. Come on, y'all just nitpicking and hating, and it just ain't even adding up. The performances were great. Michael B. Jordan was fantastic in the dual role as brothers. Delroy Lindo was fantastic. Haley Steinfeld delivered. Man, it was just a great ensemble, man. The music was fantastic. The cinematography was beautiful. The score, it was just firing on all cylinders. It was fantastic. It was an original piece. You see these top two movies I got, Weapons and Sinners, original pieces. Not sequels, not none of that. It was fantastic. So that's my number one movie of the year so far. Based on the stuff that's coming out the rest of the year, it's probably going to be a lot of Oscar bait. Avatar is coming out. Wicked 2 is coming out. But for me, I don't see those movies top in my list. They might creep into the top 10. Wicked 2 could be legit. You know what I'm saying? Avatar surprises me every time. Every time I want to doubt and hate on Avatar, I'll be like, you know what? It was better than I expected. He did this to me twice. Because Avatar, the first Avatar, I was just like, I'll watch it. I wasn't hyped, but I was like, damn, that was an experience. And then the second one, I was just like, man, the first one was just cool, but I don't really go back and watch it like that, man. I don't even need a sequel. And then I went in there, and I was like, man, this was damn good. So the same can be said about this third one. I don't know. But I'll be there. I'll check it out. But for me, yes, and I reviewed all of these films that I just listed. I reviewed every single one of them. So just go on my YouTube page, type in Tony Baker and the name of the movie. I got reviews on every one of these in my top 10. So that's my list. Honorable mention to some good movies I saw after the fact. And honorable mention the movies that almost made it. One of Them Days almost made the top 10. Final Destination Bloodlines was really entertaining. That almost made the top 10. Ballerina was a good time. Even though Ballerina failed financially, it was a good movie. I like Ballerina. The Naked Gun was funny, but it wasn't making the top 10. Black Bag was solid. I didn't really like Den of Thieves 2. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really care for it that much. The Monkey was entertaining. Wolfman was... It was mid-city. But I will say this. I didn't see a lot of trash this year in theaters. Jurassic World was forgettable, man. It was just there. Fantastic Four was cute. It was missing something, though. But it was solid. You know, it was the best Fantastic Four movie, but it was still missing something. I can't put my finger on it. Captain America Brave New World kind of gets a bad rap, but it wasn't that bad. It was solid. You know what I'm saying? It was solid to me. The Conjuring was I would say The Conjuring was the third best in the franchise. It wasn't as good as the first two, but it was legit. 28 Years Later was cool. It was all right. You know what I mean? The Accountant 2 was enjoyable. Wasn't as good as the first one. Tad too silly, but, you know, solid. I haven't seen Predator, Killer of Killers, but I heard about it. I didn't see the Karate Kid Legends. Black Phone 2. I just did a review on that, so if you want to know how I feel about that movie, you can check out the review. Working Man was just typical Jason Statham, you know, fighting and beating people up. And The Woman in the Yard pissed me off. That movie pissed me off. So, watch out. Wolfman was kind of boring. Novocaine was okay. Caught Stealing was legit. I did enjoy Caught Stealing. And that might have been it, man. Oh, The Smashing Machine with The Rock was a good movie, man. The Rock did his thing. The Rock really delivered in that movie, I feel like. So, yeah. Anyway, y'all. I done movied it up in this episode, and I enjoyed myself. I really did. How many movies has Scott seen? Probably two of them. I haven't seen Nobody 2. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. I'm a working man. That's what I do. Yeah. I haven't seen Minecraft. I haven't seen Lilo and Stitch. I haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon. I haven't seen the animes like Demon Slayer or The Chainsaw Man. I haven't seen those. I haven't seen Snow White. I haven't seen Freaky or Friday. I haven't seen The Bad Guys 2, Elio. Tron Ares was, I saw that. It was solid. Karate Kid, Legends, Mickey 17. The Materialists. I Know What You Did Last Summer. People just ignored that movie. The Smurfs, Hard Eyes, Flight Risk. I haven't seen these, but... I haven't seen Megan 2.0 and all that good stuff. But anyway, y'all, man, I appreciate y'all. I'm going to start checking out It, Welcome to Derry on HBO Max. I've been watching Tulsa King. So I've been watching stuff on the series tip a little bit. You feel me? I feel like there's something else I should tell y'all, but I think that might be it. I think that's all I got to tell y'all. I feel like, wait, hold on. Let me make sure. Before we get out of here, let me make sure. Let me make sure. Yeah, that's it. That's it for this one. I should be on the sticks tonight. Ooh, I should be on the sticks tonight if I don't get tired. So if you're bored, pull up. Holler at us, hang with us. You can see me now on my stream. I don't see what difference that made, but apparently y'all wanted it. But anyway, man, listen, I appreciate y'all for pulling up. I appreciate the patron saints so much. What's up, Mish? I appreciate all y'all, man. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio.